Hello and welcome to Dawson Speak, a Dawson's Creek podcast. I'm Tracy.
This is Charles.
And we are recording episode 204. Tomorrow's return slash
tomorrow's revenge.
Tomorrow's revenge, according to Charles. I mean, it might as well have been. I mean, I have personal feelings about her motives for returning, other than just selling her property. But whatever. This is Tomorrow's
I have a lot
return.
Of questions about this entire situation, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of questions to be had. But yeah, we are recording episode 204. Charles is now watching on Hulu because Freeform has robbed us of our joy of Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, we're still talking about this because my viewing history is blank now because I switched services. So when I tried to watch this episode, I accidentally clicked on episode 4, season 1, the preview thumbnail of which was Pacey and Tamara spooning. So I thought I was had spoiled myself.
But you didn't, and you're okay. You didn't spoil anything. There was no spooning in this episode.
There was no spooning in this episode.
I mean, there was no spooning between Tamara and Pacey in this episode, to clarify.
Yeah, none of that spooning going on.
None of that spooning going on. Yeah, Charles had a lot of... Charles felt a lot of things while watching this episode, apparently.
I was on an emotional roller coaster before the episode started.
Well, we'll get into it, but I will say, first off, that I'm going back and forth between starting our episodes, or our podcast episodes in general, with a Dawson's Creek podcast, or as the title of our podcast, which I've renamed, a podcast about Dawson's Creek. And the reason why I've named it that long version of it is because there are other Dawson's Creek podcasts out there. Shout out to all of you guys and girls. But they all use a Dawson's Creek podcast, which is the more, like, it's the one that rolls off the tongue easier.
It's the elegant way to say it.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I'm going to try to switch it up a little bit because we can't all be called the same thing. So, yeah, we're now a podcast about Dawson's Creek, which, whatever. I mean, we're still Dawson Speak. It's still all the same social medias. And that's the other thing I realized. I wait till the end of the episode to tell y'all to follow us on social media. So I'm going to tell you right now, in the first couple of minutes, we're on Twitter and Facebook at Dawson Speak Pod. You can email us at dawsonspeakpod@gmail.com. You could leave us a review. You can subscribe. You can, you know, do whatever you want. I want to give a quick shout out to one of our Twitter followers today. Her name is Becca. Becca tweeted us a lovely warning. Well, tweeted Charles a lovely warning not to watch season 2, episode 8 of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt because there is a major Dawson's Creek spoiler. So Charles, if you're watching Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, skip over that episode. I'll tell you what happened.
Okay. Thank you, Becca.
Yes, thank you, Becca. And actually, Becca also responded to another tweet we sent out earlier, which we'll talk about later in the episode, but we will get to that. Episode 204. I don't even know where to begin. I guess we should begin with the previously on, which already evoked a lot of feelings out of me.
Oh my God.
You want to jump to it? There's a lot of things that I cut in this episode where I'm like, I mean, clips that I cut where I was like, I mean, I just went through a lot. Oh, you know, while I'm looking at my desktop right now, I don't know if I should save this for like a study hall if we do one this season, but I found it recently and I wanted to tell you about it, Charles.
Yeah.
I found the 1998 review of Dawson's Creek. So this was from Entertainment Weekly.
Okay.
This is from Ken Tucker. I think this came... This review was written after the pilot, just reading the summary, or reading the review of it. At the top of the... I mean, in 1998, the website wasn't like... I don't think that this was uploaded in 1998 to the Entertainment Weekly article site.
Yeah.
But at the top where it says like the performers and when it ran, like it says all the way to 2003. So I'm pretty sure this review that was written right after the pilot.
Okay.
It's a long review, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll tweet it out, but essentially they gave it a C.
after the pilot.
Yeah.
Like that would make sense. I would understand.
I'm just going to read the first paragraph. In a line that sums up at least a few of the things that are wrong with the New Year's most anticipated show, Dawson's Creek, One character says to the blonde boy bombshell hero, "Dawson, fasten your seatbelt, it's going to be a bumpy life." The All About Eve reference, a camp quip rendered tired and trite from overuse, is all wrong for the tone of this drama, a teen soap opera that wants to be equally fresh, earnest, and hip. Ouch.
I would not call Dawson a bombshell.
Well, he was meant to look like Brad Pitt, so maybe some people got that reference. Yeah, it did not get very favorable reviews. But then again, what first season of any show or podcast to get very favorable feedback?
Yeah, normally it's around season two that they start hitting their stride.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, a study hall at the end of season one. but yeah, I'm going to tweet out that review, and Charles, I'll send it to you. There are no spoilers in it.
Look at us being meta, like the show that we watch.
Let's just jump to the open now, shall we? Let's do it.
Previously on Dawson's Creek.
Pacey Witter is a student of yours?
Yes, he is.
There have been allegations of a sexual relationship between yourself and Mr. Witter.
Is a farewell kiss permitted?
Okay. Go ahead, I'll lock up.
Huh. Do you think you can handle it? What the hell? Thanks, Jack.
If you can't handle being in the same room with me...
No, I can handle being in the same room with you, Jen. I just can't handle you throwing yourself at me. Don't you find it humiliating?
Pretty good previously on.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened in that previously.
Well, a lot of stuff happened in this episode. We already... It's not a surprise that Tamara's back, because, of course, the end of 203, we saw her in her car.
It was a surprise in 203.
It was a surprise in 203, but obviously the episode is called Tamara's Return. The previously on begins with the last time we saw Tamara in Capeside, which was this... not really trial, but sort of like a disciplinary hearing.
It was the school board. Yeah,
some sort of a hearing, basically, about the rumors of this inappropriate relationship. I almost forgot that we left that storyline without anyone knowing that it was Pacey, besides, like... Or, like, not that... No, people knew it was Pacey, but people didn't know it was true, right? Because he said he made it up.
Yeah. They were all, like, rumors.
Yeah, it was all just whisperings and stuff like that.
Oh, is it true?
Which makes the whole part in the story where he, like, goes to her house or whatever. I'm almost thinking, like, this seems like a very gossipy town just based on everything we know. Yeah. Don't you think someone would be like, ooh, look, Pacey's going over there yet? I don't know.
Not even if he's just going over there. It's like, oh, look, they're standing within 10 feet of each other on the beach.
Yeah, there's a lot of... So let's talk about the A storyline, which is Tamara coming back. She is back in Capeside to sell property.
Sell a warehouse. Why a teacher owns a warehouse, I don't know.
That's a very good question, because I assumed she was selling her house. You know, like her home.
No, apparently she has, like, just a warehouse with nothing
sitting
in
it. Did we know she had a warehouse?
We've never been told she had a warehouse.
Why would she have a warehouse, right?
Maybe she was involved with the drug smuggling.
No, but that's a good theory. Don't we wish? Because then, I mean, your prediction with the last episode was that she'd get arrested in the first 5 minutes. So that didn't happen.
Yeah.
She's there to sell her warehouse and potentially to Mitch, who is still...
Yep, who needs a space for his restaurant.
Yeah, still working on his scuba restaurant. But yeah, so... I cut this clip because I knew it would make you mad.
Hello, Pacey.
Oh, no.
Just that.
Oh, no.
I just knew that it would upset you. Yeah. I mean, what do you consider the A storyline? Is it Tamara and Pacey? Is it Tamara, Pacey, and Andy? I mean, Andy is a...
I think Andy's storyline stands alone a little bit. And, like, it intersects with Pacey Tamara.
Oh, we're going to talk about Andy. Like, I want to leave a separate... I think Andy deserves a whole section to herself without being tainted by Tamara.
Yeah, I would call the A in this Pacey and Tamara. Just Pacey
and Tamara. We knew we weren't going to like this return. I mean, I knew... Yeah. When I first watched Dawson's Creek and this episode came up, I remember specifically just, like... thinking in my head, like, make this end. And I had that same reaction watching it again, just because I was like, it was just so cringy. I had so many moments where I said out loud, like, oh, no.
Everyone told me when I started watching Dawson's Creek that, oh, Pacey's a great character. Pacey's, like, is going to be your favorite. And I hated Pacey for so long. And it was because of the Tamara story.
So you had said at the end of the last episode that you were just starting to love Pacey, and then you're upset that Tamara's coming back. Yeah. Did this episode change your opinion of Pacey?
It did for the first two-thirds of the
episode. But then at the end when, like, they said goodbye and he has that, oh, I used to know her, but I don't know that woman anymore line.
Yeah. I will say I don't love Pacey as much at the end of this episode as I did at the end of last episode.
But he's still your number one.
Of the four, yes. He's still my number one.
Okay, I asked you this last episode. Do you want to know how many episodes Tamara is in?
Didn't you tell me already? She's in one more after this episode.
I don't think I told you. I don't remember.
You didn't ask me.
So, I mean, I asked you if you wanted to know, and you said no.
She's in one more after this episode. Yeah, she's in the next one. Right? Okay.
But, I mean, essentially, like, we can consider the storyline pretty much over, so you can go back to loving Pacey, basically, is what I'm saying.
Oh, is she, like, not in a lot of the next episode?
I mean, you'll see.
Okay. Pacey will have to, like, go a little bit to rebuild that that devotion.
I think you're gonna love Pacey in the next episode. I will just say that. There's stuff. When Pacey kissed Tamara in the warehouse, did you throw your hands up and spill your drink everywhere? Because I'm imagining you doing that, because that's, like, what you do.
If I had a drink, I would have spilled it.
Was it upsetting? Everywhere. I was upset.
God, they were so close to just walking away, and it would have been okay. It would have been a little melodramatic, but that's fine. But no. And then what happened after that kiss? Nothing. There wasn't even a payoff, like a negative payoff. It was just, oh, they kissed, like, passionately, and then they decided to separate.
I have "go away tomorrow" written in all caps, like, a bunch in my notes.
Yeah, let's see. My notes from that is no.
You know what I didn't do? I didn't read the IMDb summary. I just forgot how to do this podcast, let's be honest. We're recording this episode in the beginning of August, by the way. You're probably not going to hear it until near the end of August or mid-August, mainly because of scheduling conflicts. We've had to record a bunch of stuff early, so we do leave these gaps where we don't do the podcast, and I just, like, everything falls out of my head. Let me read the IMDb summary. Tamara Jacobs, the former Capeside High English teacher who left town to avoid a scandal after her affair with Pacey was almost exposed, shares an awkward reunion with him as she's temporarily back as a real estate agent who is trying to sell Mitch a warehouse, which she hopes to open his own restaurant. The encounter triggers old emotions in Pacey and curiosity in Andy, who asks Dawson for advice on Pacey's likes and dislikes. Meanwhile, Joey finds a new joy in art and takes the time visiting a gallery with Jack, who shares her newfound love. But Dawson does not have the same interests. Also, Abby tries to get Jen to help her flirt with an attractive seaman named Vincent, who rejects Abby's overplayed advances but accepts Jen's more softer approach. I mean, this is, like, a meh summary. It's not a great summary of the episode.
It's mostly factually accurate.
So is Tamara a real estate agent?
She's not a real estate agent. She's selling the warehouse by owner, if we want to get technical about it.
So, yeah. All right. I think we should just brush through this Tamara thing very quickly. Let's, mainly just to save Charles's perception of Pacey.
My sanity.
I had a lot of all caps no's as well written here. I'm just like, there's nothing to say about her storyline other than, like, ugh.
Are she and Mitch going to make out next episode? Because, like, it seemed like they were setting up that, oh, Mitch has found the woman that he's going to have an affair with. I thought, well, I don't know if he was trying to hit on her, but I felt, like, some tense energy there. I don't know.
I mean, maybe. Maybe she, everything she does is just, like, could be very flirty.
Yeah. She's just a siren like that.
Let's talk about Andy.
Oh, okay. Andy. Sweet, sweet Andy.
I just think she's just adorable.
I love her so much.
I have a couple of Andy things that I've cut here that I, well, two things. The first one, oh, let's talk about Pacey and Andy, first off, which I know you're a big Pacey Andy shipper at the moment.
Yes. After like three episodes, I am a giant Pacey Andy
Let's
shipper.
Talk about this interaction between the two of them at the beginning of the episode.
Hey, you know, I'm out of here and I got no plans, so what do you say we go out, walk around downtown or something?
Yeah, right. What's the joke?
No joke. I got no plans. And believe it or not, I'd rather spend the afternoon exchanging barbs with a brat like yourself than flying solo. So pinch yourself. It's your lucky day. You in?
Well, yeah, I mean, might as well.
Well, unless you have your heart set on watching Dumbo.
Yeah, I've seen it like 700 times. You're not going to throw me in front of a bus or anything, are you?
It's an interesting idea. I hadn't thought of that.
cute. Just cute. Is that how...
So
is that?
Cute.
Is that how boys ask girls that in high school?
I mean, I don't think he was actively asking
her. He was just asking her to quote-unquote vaguely hang out.
But yes. Yeah. You know, when you're talking. And you're hanging out.
I think it's cute. Yeah, I just like that. I like that they love Dumbo. I like that Pacey loves Dumbo.
Yep.
I also don't know.
It makes sense for Pacey's character, right?
Yeah, I also don't know why Andy's just carrying those tapes around.
Maybe she has to return them to the video store.
I mean, it would make sense if she left them in her locker, but she like had them in the classroom because she dropped them everywhere, which is how Pacey picked them up after class.
Yeah, I want to say I think it's adorable that they somehow have lockers next to each other.
How did they get lockers next to each other? Did she always have the locker next to him?
I don't know. My high school didn't have lockers to begin with, so I didn't know how they got assigned or anything.
We had lockers in high school assigned by last name, but then if you were, like, a mid-year transfer, you just got, like, whatever locker was available, because there were always empty ones around.
Maybe they got lucky and they were meant for each other.
Yeah. my other note about this was, did Andy and Dawson ever officially meet? Because, like,
I feel like
we've
no.
never seen them officially meet.
Yeah. How does Andy know where Dawson lives?
I mean, maybe that is a small enough town that she could figure it out. Or there's a phone book. She looked it up in the phone book in the yellow pages.
The white pages.
Oh, yes, the white pages. That's what people did in 1998. I was trying to figure out if they had met before and we missed it. But maybe it's one of those things that happens off camera.
Yeah, like... The relationships develop off camera, you know, you talk about midterms and all that.
call back to Mary Beth in, what was that episode? Double Date.
Yeah.
But my other clip that I cut is, it's a little bit of a long one, but it's actually not that long. I actually had to cut it down because the original clip would have ended up being really long, but you'll know the scene that it's from.
Has Pacey said anything to you about... possibly liking someone?
Liking someone? Liking who?
Liking... oh, I don't know. Me?
Not that I recall.
Oh.
Oh, Andy.
For a person who, like... for someone who doesn't know Dawson particularly well, she's very open with how she feels about...
especially, Pacey's like, family. Yeah, Pacey's best friend. Because here's the thing. The only time we've ever seen Andy acknowledge Dawson in the past was when Pacey and Dawson were fighting. And remember, like, that's how she finds out about Pacey's party.
Yeah.
So for all she knows, you know.
Dawson's a jerk.
Yeah, but I would say Dawson was not a jerk in this episode.
He wasn't. He was... I give him a net positive this episode. I like him more after this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I have some things to say about him and Joey that I will get to, but specifically in this storyline, I'm playing a lot of clips because I literally had like 15 clips cut after this, and I had to cut them down because I'm not gonna play all of them.
Andy is very quotable.
Well,
it's
this part with Dawson, between Dawson and Pacey. This is a long clip though.
Pacey, I'm your friend, and I want to be supportive and helpful. The only thing I can think of to say to you in good conscience is stay away.
You haven't even fully recovered from the gossip followed of your last completely illegal interlude. There are girls your age. Girls who like you. I mean, would it be so terrible if you fell for one of them?
Like who?
Like the one who came to my house yesterday and told me that she liked you.
Who?
I'm not supposed to say.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm not in the mood. Who?
Andy. Andy likes you.
Andy hates me.
When a girl hates you the way Andy hates you, it really means that she likes you. That's basic kindergarten psychology.
Yeah, but you see, that's different, Dawson. Andy's a girl, okay? And Tamara's a woman.
Exactly. Pacey, you should be with a girl. Okay, look, I gotta go and I'm really sorry, but I'm begging you. As your friend, don't go there.
I mean, that is a standing ovation performance from Mr. Vanderbeek as Dawson. I mean, I literally have this clip titled. Normally, I have each clip titled, like, just kind of a little bit of either a quote or just, like, a way for me to identify it. Literally, this clip is titled, yeah. Dawson Says Something Smart.
I feel like this is the first time in the show where I've agreed with him so vehemently.
Same. I mean, thank you, Dawson. Thank you for saying that.
Thank you for being the voice of reason.
What a surprise. All right, well, speaking of Dawson's other storyline, Dawson and I mean, I guess it's more Joey's storyline than Dawson's storyline.
Yeah, he's a bit, he's the B
plot. I mean, I didn't love, I just think, maybe I just don't like Dawson and Joey in general, but Dawson was not smart in this one. Like, there's a part at the end, I didn't cut this clip, where he says that, like, I'm always going to support the things you love, but it's like, you didn't support her going to France, so...
Compared to the last fight that Dawson and Joey had, like, Dawson didn't act particularly ridiculous this fight. He said things incorrectly, and he didn't, like, he has a problem being serious when he needs to be serious. But at least he wasn't horrible this time?
Dawson's not horrible for this episode. That's where we've settled. I think that the writers are starting to lay those seeds of like, okay, we need to break Joey and Dawson up, you know? Because I think they're starting to realize that like, maybe this isn't great. I don't know. I'm projecting, but I feel like they're starting to sort of lay the groundwork for that because we get more notes to this episode of Joey saying, you know, nothing's changed between us and I'm too obsessed with you. Like, I'm too in love with you. It's not good for me or it's not good for us. Which is a good thing that she is trying to vocalize that. Although I got more frustrated with Joey. I think I'm just frustrated with Joey when she's with Dawson. I still love her, but I'm just more frustrated with her.
Yeah, because Dawson makes her a worse person.
Well, I mean, I respect and appreciate her attempt to enjoy art, and I get why she was frustrated with Dawson's fake attempt to be interested in the things that she's actually interested in, because I think it's starting to make her realize that, like, she doesn't want to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't really take her interest seriously. And not only that, but, like, you know, she could tell that they're just kind of placating each other. They're going along with each other's interests.
They're doing what the other person thinks, what they think will make the other person happy.
Yeah, and the reason why they're doing it is because they're so, like, obsessed with each other, and it's just not healthy.
They're so, like, invested into this, like, relationship that they're so invested in this relationship, they're, like, slipperily sloping themselves at, or not slipperily slope, sunk cost fallacying themselves into, like, trying to make it work.
Which is, like, yeah, exactly. And because of that, they're not actually growing because they're just trying to, like, hang on to this idea of a relationship. So,
yeah, that's really sad.
It is. And I think we start to see in this episode more than in the other episodes where they've had those kind of tiffs, Joey kind of realizing that, like, you know, she ends the episode by saying, like, can we just leave this one unresolved right now? So, yeah, I think we're seeing an expiration date nearing for their relationship.
And I will say, Joey and Jack had great banter this episode.
So I was going to ask you what you think, because up until what we meet Jack episode two, so we've only had him around for two episodes. This is the third episode, and the last two he didn't have really substantial storylines except for being there to tell Pacey that, hey, we're actually not rich and things like that. There's this nice moment in the beginning.
Jack, ever since we hired you, it's been nothing but a slapstick comedy. I mean, you drop dishes, you misplace orders, you fall all over yourself.
Just cute. Just, I mean, poor Jack, first off. I mean, I love at the end where he's like, you know, it's like a painting, you know, I've got layers and emotions and all these things you might not see on the surface. I really love Jack. Jack is one of my favorite characters of Dawson's Creek. Just a big statement to say. Not my favorite character, but one of my favorite characters. I really love Jack's interactions with the group, particularly, and kind of how he changed that dynamic. What do you think, Charles, of Jack?
This is the first episode that we get to see like a non-dopey Jack, which I think is a really fun change of pace. And even seeing him like just speak faster from a like mechanical standpoint was fun.
Yeah.
And like to see him not dropping something or pouring water on the ground or like to actually be in his element, you get an entire different dimension of his character, I think.
Yeah, it was great seeing him at the art gallery with Joey. And I almost wonder, like, obviously that moment happened to set up this notion that Joey's realizing that Dawson is maybe not the person who she should be sharing things like art galleries with, because he's not going to be interested in them. But there are other people in the world that she could share art with. But the other cool thing is that we see Jack in school. This is the first episode we've seen Jack in a classroom.
Just briefly, right?
Yeah, it was that exchange I just played. The because Joey tells Jack, like, oh, we have to close up because Bessie can't open the ice house.
Yeah. And then he like, I can open it himself. Yeah,
which would be a disaster. But then she like says yes, right?
Yeah.
Which can she determine that?
Joey's cool and all, but she almost got fired last episode.
But she can't determine if he can open the business. I mean, that is Bessie and Bodie's business.
Yeah. Also, like, she doesn't cook. He doesn't cook. I don't think Bessie cooks normally. Like, someone has to cook.
All right. I've got a new game.
Okay.
And I already told you about this. So you had some time to think about it. And I tweeted about it as well. It's, let's make up a backstory for Bodie. Because the writers didn't seem to do it.
Where's Bodie?
Bodie did not run out of their lives because, again, he is in future episodes. He is still a part of it, but they seem to act like he's not around. Like
Bessie is like half a single mother right now.
So he's clearly somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read Becca earlier, who sent us that lovely spoiler warning of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt for Charles, also tweeted us a suggestion. She tweeted, he stole Mitch's scuba restaurant idea and is in New York City meeting with investors. Which I kind of love that concept. He's going to make it big. He's going to get out of Cape Side, take the family with him.
That scuba concept is not something you test in Cape Side. It's something you take right to New York City.
Right to the crazy Big Apple.
Yeah. My realistic, like, assumption that I want to believe is he just got that job that he went to interview for when his baby was born.
So he's like been sending money back, basically.
Yeah, he's like two buses and an hour and a half away or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm going to say he's on a reality show.
Oh, yeah?
He's competing on a reality show that obviously no one can talk about because, you know, NDAs when people go off and do those reality shows, they sign non-disclosures and the family can't talk about it either because it's all hush-hush. So he's competing on a reality show right now.
What kind of reality show?
Obviously a cooking one. Or The Amazing Race. I don't know. Did The Amazing Race start in 1988?
I don't know. Don't you, like, have to pick a partner when you do that show?
Yes.
Who do you think his partner would be?
Anderson.
Oh, my God. I had...
Cliff Elliott.
I had written an Anderson note in my notes for this episode, but I wasn't going to bring him up because he hasn't been in the show for over a season now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if it were a Bodie Anderson team, it would be a great team. They would probably win.
I think that Cliff Elliott would be a better choice, though. We know he's very athletic.
Yeah, but can he find his way around?
And he can play football with a broken arm. So, even if he gets injured.
That makes sense. That's probably what he's doing.
What were we talking about? Bodie? Jack? Conversation Beard. If you all have any suggestions or ideas of how we can expand our Bodie fan fiction, please let us know, because I think every episode we're going to have to keep asking until he pops back up where Bodie is.
When's the next time he shows up again? Are you going to tell me?
I honestly don't remember the exact episode. I know the storyline, though.
Okay.
But I can't tell you the episode.
Is it like a big deal? Is it like, oh, Bodie's back? Or is it like, oh, there's Bodie?
I mean, it's significant in their lives.
Okay.
It's the best I can say. Right. Yeah. To go back to Jack, do you think the writers are sowing the seeds? I know the answer to this. Do you think the writers are sowing the seeds of a Joey Jack pairing? Okay.
Yes. I'm going to go back to my prediction for season two and gloat about how correct I was.
What part specifically?
About how Jack is better for Joey than Dawson is, and he's going to become a rival for Dawson. Mm. When I was watching this episode, I took a screenshot of when Joey and Jack are done with the exhibit and they're outside talking about it, and then Dawson shows up, and the look of disdain on Jack's face was hilarious. He was scowling, his brow was like bunched up, he was like Kubrick staring straight up at Dawson.
So this screenshot is also on our social media feeds. It's what I used as the tease image for this episode. But yeah, it's a pretty great screenshot. And up until that point, Dawson and Jack have only met very briefly.
Yeah, when he asks Joey for a job, right?
Yeah, and Dawson and Joey are fighting.
Yeah.
At the moment, I mean, I know Pacey Joey is still a nice pairing, and we don't see them interact. We haven't really seen them interact that much at all this season so far, have we?
Nope. Not since Joey Dawson happened. Did she even say anything about his birthday?
No. I mean, they're at the party, but...
Yeah, but...
I know. We need more Joey, Pacey, and, well, that may not come in the immediate future, but we've got some good Andy storylines coming up, some good Jack storylines, so.
Andy's such a sweetheart.
I'm just gonna keep saying it, I love Jack. I just love Jack a lot.
Jack seems cool. If he continues along the path that I've set before him, I will like him a lot.
What do you think Jack's future is? I mean, you've seen enough. No, you haven't seen enough screenshots. Remember when we took that Which Dawson's Creek character are you quiz, and there was pictures of Jack, and Jack was an option. You didn't know who he was. So you know that Jack is not like a passing character, obviously. Jack and Andy are around.
Yeah.
But you also know that Pacey Joey is a big pairing. So I don't know if you can make any assumptions, but maybe everything is just very confusing right now for you.
There's so many seasons to this show, and there's so many like possible relationships that I expect to happen that at this point I don't really want to happen. Like if Pacey and Andy just end up together and like Joey and Jack end up together, that's fine with me. But I know that Pacey and Joey get a storyline, if not more. So I have no idea what happens.
We continue to do well with keeping major spoilers away from Charles.
Maybe Jack goes away to college and he and Joey break up.
That your prediction?
Sure. That'll work for now.
Oh, man. We're going to get to it in this season. I'm going to say that. Joey discovers that she's really into art. In this episode, we learn more about her mother, who is also into art.
Yes.
We see Laura Weston, the architect/interior designer, come back.
She has very eclectic tastes.
Yes. Yes, this is her last episode, though. Just
Oh, no.
Yeah. Laura Weston is just in this episode to spark an interest in art in Joey.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know if there's much more to say about the storyline, except for I think everyone just wants Joey to live her best life.
Yeah. Like, it makes me sad that she had such a bright future ahead of her, and then this relationship with Dawson has, like, kind of put the brakes.
You've, like, ran her off. You're like, well, then she dated Dawson.
I don't know. Yeah, I got so much less excited about her when that relationship happened. And that's mean to say, but
it's well, here's the thing. It's just that we barely see Joey interact with a lot of people aside from, at this point, Dawson, her sister, or Jack, right?
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't talk to Pacey. She and Jen only have, like, passing kind of, you know, stares and, like, little clips at each other.
They haven't directly interacted in a bit, I feel.
No, there's not been, like, a one-on-one conversation between the two of them. It still really bothers me that Jen kind of turned so quickly on Joey, even though she'd been trying so hard to be friends with Joey while she was dating, while Jen was dating Dawson last season, but
yeah.
Whatever, we'll talk about Jen in a second. I just feel like Joey doesn't have that many, and maybe the writers are like, oh man, we need to give Joey more of a storyline, because all the people she's talking to are her sister or Dawson, and maybe that's the point of it, to kind of show that she's kind of made her world about Dawson. And yeah. It's not good. I think we've one thing I didn't say at the beginning. You know, we don't have our movie openings anymore, but this is the second episode this season so far where it's just begun with the two of them making out.
Yeah. At like the ruins too.
Oh yeah.
Like, probably 10 feet away from where Tamara and Izzy were making out at one point.
Yeah. Ugh. All right. Let's talk
also,
about Jen.
I would want to find out probably pretty close where Dawson took Jen to make out so he could record it, too.
That's just the makeout spot, you know? That's Cape Side's makeout spot.
A blanket on top of the ground.
Ugh. All right. Jen and Abby and Vincent.
Vincent.
Vincent
should know better. That's what I'm taking away from this storyline, is what's wrong with Vincent?
Vincent, who is not a recurring character.
I'm glad.
Vincent is played by Joe Flanagan, most known for Stargate. Is it Stargate? Is that what it's called?
That's a show.
Yeah, Vincent is played by Joe Flanagan, who was in Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah.
And is most known for that, according to IMDb. I did not watch Stargate Atlantis, but I'm sure a lot of people are probably screaming at me because... I've read some Dawson's Creek, like, blog posts and just other things, and everyone recognizes him from that. But yeah, Vincent does not come back. Someone's going to correct me on this. I'm pretty sure, because, yeah.
No, he lives a life on the ocean, you know?
Yeah, he's only in Cape Side for, like, what, a month?
If that. I don't know how fishing works.
I did not like the storyline.
It just made me feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, Vincent turned down Abby but not Jen also makes me very, very uncomfortable.
But here's the thing, and this is where I want to correct the IMDb summary. Jen didn't really, like, hit on him. She was just, like...
She was very passive in the entire interaction. Like, she wasn't even looking at him to begin with.
No, I mean, she turns around and smiles briefly and then, you know, apologizes. Yeah, and then apologizes on behalf of Abby at the end. But it's not like she was flirting with him. Which makes it creepier that, like, she's clearly not... She's clearly underage.
Yeah, if Vincent can identify that Abby is underage, he can identify that Jen is underage.
Yeah. Just because she's New York Jen with her short hair doesn't mean she's automatically older. One of the things that bothered me is in the beginning when Jen's kind of, like, moping in the cafeteria and she says, like, you know, this little... you know, trio of Dawson, Joey, and Pacey. I used to kind of fit in there and be a part of it.
She specifically says Troika, I believe.
Yeah. But she's the one who is staying away from them. Like, they never said, like, Jen, don't hang out with us.
Yeah.
She's the one who basically, like, you know, in the first episode, I think, at the movie theater, basically kind of says to Dawson, like, I was the girl that you just, you know, I need to help you realize that you're in love with Joey. And she's, like, clearly upset about it. She's the one who's, like, avoiding them. We've seen her talk to Pacey individually, but, like, she could still, if she wanted to, hang out with them. She's just having a hard time getting past Dawson and Joey being together.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I still feel a little bit bad for Jen just because she's had it rough.
Yeah, very rough.
And I don't think Abby's presence is necessarily helping, although it is making things interesting. I will say that. Although Abby was a little bit frustrating in this episode.
Quite frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I have anything specifically to say about Abby other than, like, my notes to say Abby, geez.
Because, like, I don't get Abby's deal. Well, I get Abby's deal. I just don't like it.
I just didn't like how mad she got at Jen at the end.
Yeah. And, like, I guess it's in character for her to get that upset because she's always been an instigator. But, like, she was there for the entirety of what happened. Like,
yeah,
don't mind yourself, Abby Morgan.
It's just frustrating because, like, she treats Jen like Jen threw herself at Vincent. And it's like... And she's going on about how much she liked him. Like, did she? She just thought he was hot. So, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't know. Of the storylines, if we got rid of that part, and then also... I don't know. It's hard to say that I didn't enjoy the Dawson-Joey stuff because... You need the Dawson-Joey stuff because it goes with the Joey-Jack stuff.
Yeah. Like, without one, you can't have the other. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what we haven't really seen? Jack and Andy interacting.
No.
We know they're related. Actually, we've never had them in a scene together.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, they've not done
a scene together. That's crazy.
They've talked about each other. They've referenced one another. But they've not been on camera together. So that's interesting.
Yeah. I feel like they get along, right?
I mean, there's nothing... We've not been led to believe that they don't get along.
Yeah. And they help each other out. They love each other.
Yeah, and obviously something happened in their family that has brought them to Cape Side, and it must be something that also brought them closer. So who do you think won this episode?
Oh... Can I say Jack? Jack won the episode?
Do you think Jack won the episode?
I'm going to start calling them, like, the core six now.
Yeah.
Of the core six, I think Jack won the episode. Like, Dawson, I liked him in this episode more than I do normally, but he doesn't come out better than he went in. Joey, I could see an argument for her winning, but I think Jack, I feel like Jack won because, like, before I knew he was, like, kind of a cool guy, but you had just seen, like, oh, the Jack that can't fill sauce bottles correctly, or the Jack that can't mop, or the Jack that drops a plate off screen every time.
Yeah.
And, like, in this episode, especially once he gets into the art gallery, I feel like even physically he's so much more comfortable. Like, he becomes less clumsy and, like, more, for the lack of a better word, like, elegant in his movements. That I think, like, you get to see this entire positive side of Jack that you hadn't seen before.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you thought Joey and Jack had great banter in this episode. Did Jack really banter back with Joey too much? I mean, there was, like, a little bit of it here and there, but... So, like, think about at the end in the art gallery when...
Yeah.
He's talking about art, and Joey's, like, really surprised that he's into art.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, what, do you think waiting tables is my only talent? And then she says, oh, if that was, like, your only talent, then, you know.
No talents.
Exactly. And then he, like, immediately kind of gets hurt about it. So it's not really, like, and maybe it's just something he takes very personally, but, like, there wasn't too much banter between them.
He, like, in their conversations, he's on the defensive the most. But if you, like, even, I think it was when they first get to the art exhibit, I can't remember the exactly what they're talking about right now, but, like, he just speaks with so much more control than he normally does. Granted, he makes fun of people a lot less than the other characters makes fun of people, if that sentence makes sense.
Yeah, I think it just shows he's, like, a really earnest character.
Yeah.
Earnest in a way that, like, because even with Andy, like, I mean, obviously she's flirting with Pacey, but, like, she's more nervous and anxious of a character, and Jack's very calm.
Yeah.
So his way of speaking and dialogue and stuff is calmer. I can see that. I can see Jack being the winner. I would say it's Andy, though.
I could also see an argument for Andy. But the reason I don't put Andy as the winner, and it's a very selfish reason, I feel like we kind of got cheated out of something with this episode, and I kind of wish that Andy and Pacey didn't reveal to each other that, like,
they like each other.
Yeah, like, I wanted to see more of that build-up and more of that, like, oh, will they, won't they, oh, they're so shy, oh, this is so cute, ha 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 ha, stuff. And then Dawson goes and ruins it, but, I mean,
well, did he really ruin it,
though? Well, okay, no, it's not his fault, but I'm gonna blame him anyways. I feel like we could have gotten another good episode out of, like, the Pacey-Andy, like, flirting with each other dynamic.
Like, of the two of them kind of circling around.
Yeah. Talking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But that means there's only more room for them to possibly be together, question mark.
I know. But one of my favorite things about, like, one of my favorite stages about relationships is the chase.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Do you think that ending, something I didn't mention, Andy doesn't find out about Tamara and
No, she Casey. Doesn't.
And she was there after all of the gossip, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that Pacey will tell her about Tamara?
I hope he does, but I don't think he will.
Why do you hope he does?
I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit of a power imbalance between the two of them right now. It's not like he was indebted to anything with Andy, but, like, instead of this, like, symmetrical, like, mutual attraction they have, it's like, oh, Pacey had this, like, big thing, but he decided to just get over it and, like, go out with Andy, which, like, Andy had this big thing and she doesn't know about Pacey's big thing. It makes me sad.
I think we've overanalyzed everything we can in this episode. Do you have any other leftover notes that we didn't get to?
Yeah. Okay. So Dawson failing to tell Pacey that Tamara is back in town.
Well, to Dawson's credit, man, we are a Dawson defense squad here today.
You are Dawson defense. Okay, he tried, but he did not try very hard.
Well, I think he was trying to without being too, like, obvious about it, because
he's like, probably there were other people around. Yeah.
Well, and also he's probably, like, kind of in shock, right? Like, dude, yeah. I just saw that the teacher that you had an affair with, and he's probably panicking a little bit on the inside, and doesn't know how to handle having a subtle conversation. When you were a 15-year-old boy, did you know how to have a subtle conversation?
No, okay, no, probably not. Like, any
I think
subtle
he's just
conversation.
Panicking.
Yeah, but, like, of all the things to panic about, this is such a big thing that he should have let Pacey know about. And I guess nowadays you would just, like, if you fail to tell your friend in the hall, you could just text him about it and be much easier.
Exactly. If we had social media, it'd be different. But he had to have this conversation in person. And then, of course, Pacey just is like, sorry, I gotta go, bye.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing I was thinking about when Pacey said, I really gotta go, bye. He said, I really gotta go because he was going to class, right?
Yeah.
Do you think Pacey would have done that before he met Andy?
Like, be at class on time?
Yeah, like, be so, what's that word when you're on time? I think it starts with a P.
Punctual?
Yeah. Do you think he would, like, care so much about being so punctual if it weren't for Andy? I feel like he wouldn't.
I don't know, because I think Pacey also cares about being in detention, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't maybe he's been tardy a lot and is like, shit, if I get one more, then I have to go to detention, you know?
No. Okay. Excessive tardies. In my head canon, no, like, meeting Andy and being her friend has made him a better student already.
And being around Andy in that Which moment, is why being like, I gotta be at class on time because Andy's standing right next to me.
Yeah. And see,
I can,
like,
say that.
Andy and Pacey aren't even dating yet. And Andy's already making Pacey a better person.
True.
That's all I have. I think those are my remaining notes for this episode.
So then are you ready to rate it? I can tell you IMDb. There is one user review. It's not super interesting. It was a review written in 2011. That's just basically like, this sped things up and this reinvigorated Dawson's Creek, but I don't know if it will last. It's like a meh review. This person will give it 8 stars. Out of 127 reviews on IMDb, fans or viewers gave it 7.8 out of 10.
Okay.
So it's on, I don't want to say the higher end, it's higher than the past episode.
The past episode, yeah. Like slightly, right?
Well, the this season so far, we've had The Kiss, which is the first episode, was 8.1, 7.7, 7.6, and then now we're at a 7.8.
Okay. I'm going to have a hard time rating this episode.
Really? Do you want me to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay, I had a hard time rating this one too. Because I had this internal battle with myself. I actually changed my rating several times. It was higher, and then I was like, no, I can't like this episode that much because of how much I hate Tamara. Yeah. I'm giving this episode a 7.5.
Very middle of the road.
Very middle of the road. It was... Because here's the thing. There's a lot of things I like about this episode, and even the bad stuff, like the Tamara stuff, and... Like, Dawson, even as annoying as, not as annoying, but as, like, frustrating as the Dawson-Joey relationship is, neither of them were specifically annoying enough to be like, ugh, this is, like, really frustrating.
Yeah.
And the things that have dragged down past episodes for me, I feel like, aren't really applicable this time. I mean, the Abby storyline was kind of a throwaway, in my opinion, on this one.
Yeah.
Although it does set up a little bit of what I think is an interesting dynamic between Jen and Abby, because as close as they are, there's still, like, a weird level of competition that Abby sees. When it comes to Jen, which is kind of how maybe Abby views friendships and stuff like that. But anyways, 7.5 because I really love the movement and development in the Pacey Andy storyline. And there's more of it here. And it's much quicker than we've seen relationships developing in the past. Obviously, we've only had half a season really to see examples of this. But I love how quickly it moved along this episode. I like that Jack got a more... substantial storyline, because before, like we've said, you know, we've just seen him as kind of clumsy and in the background a little bit, but we see more of Jack, and I love Jack, so what's there to not enjoy about this episode? I didn't hate Dawson, and that actually boosted my opinion of this episode quite a bit, because normally I'd spend a good chunk of the podcast ranting about Dawson.
Yeah.
All the stuff that I didn't like about the episode, it just was such a blip. The reason why it wasn't higher, though, is just because I really feel like they didn't need Tamara to come back. They could have had any... I mean, if the only reason to bring her back was so that Mitch could have somewhere to open his restaurant, they could have used any real estate agent.
Yeah, like, he did not need to have to buy the warehouse from Tamara. Tamara does not need to own a warehouse.
Maybe the reason why they bought her back specifically is to show that, like, Pacey's growing, except that it didn't, because he was like, I'm still into her. So
yeah.
I don't know what that was supposed to solve or supposed to bring up. That is the reason why it is not higher or lower. 7.5 is my rating.
I am going to give this episode a flat 7.
A flat 7?
Yeah, with the caveat that there are a lot of... There are many parts of this episode that I really enjoyed. Jack's story development being one of them. Dawson not being a jerk being one of them. Andy being one of them. But... Like, Tamara, this entire show thus far, Tamara has been my least favorite part of the show. And I, like, haven't been shy about that. And I agree with you. I don't think she, like, needed to come back. I don't know what service her character services. And I'm just so hurt over, like, not being able to see Andy and Pacey, like, confess their, like for each other. I feel like that's such a whiff.
Well, I don't think we've lost that opportunity. I mean, right now they're still kind of skirting around. Even though Dawson has essentially spilled the beans, like, we haven't... Andy doesn't know that Pacey likes her, right?
I... Not really.
Like, there's not been a 100% like, yes, we're into each other. There's just been kind of like, even Andy says about like her liking Pacey, she like downplays it at the end. Yeah. So we haven't been robbed of it in the way that you're describing.
Okay. I feel robbed right now. But if it's coming in the future, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you'll find out. The tagline for this whole podcast is really just, you'll find out. We'll get to it. All right, flat 7. We've only been 4 episodes in. What's been your favorite episode of this season so far?
Let's see. So
was it the pilot?
Of season 2?
Of season 2, yeah.
So we've had the kiss, we've had Crossroads, we've had Alternative Lifestyles, and we've had Tomorrow's Return.
Oh, you liked Alternative Lifestyles.
Yeah, I think that one is my favorite. I think I gave that an 8.
Yeah.
I want to say, right? Yeah.
All right.
I had a lot of fun that episode, and there wasn't very much that made me angry.
So the next episode we're going to watch is episode 5. It's called Full Moon Rising.
I have no idea what that can mean.
I know the titles are getting more abstract. Full Moon Rising. There's not much I can really say about it. There is a user review that I'm looking forward to reading to you, though.
Who cares about the moon?
You know what? I lied to you. I think Vincent is back in the next episode.
Are you serious? Oh, man. Vincent is going to get himself arrested. Are Vincent and Tamara going to end up together?
Vincent is back in the next episode, yeah.
And Tamara's in the next episode, right?
Tamara is in the next episode, yeah.
Okay. I wonder what will happen.
Those are all the clues I'm going to give you, unless you want to ask anything else.
Does Mitch ever open his restaurant?
Well, you're not going to find out in the next episode. No.
Does Gail show up? Where's Gail?
She'll be in the next episode.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
We've got more of the Learys to examine.
The American nuclear family.
All right, well, I've already given all my social media plugs at the beginning of the episode this time around, but in case you missed it, Dawson Speak Pod on all of the things.
Everywhere. Tweet us stuff. Don't tweet me spoilers. I'll be very sad. Trace will be very angry.
I'll just be disappointed that I couldn't save you.
She's worked so hard.
I've worked so hard.
It's mostly worked so far. I haven't, like...
Yeah.
I have no big spoilers.
Yeah, no one's been mean about it, so that's been good. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for, you know, shout out to all of our listeners from Canada, because there's actually, according to our analytics, a good handful of you.
Hello, Canada.
Hi, Canada. But no one from Maine, that's shown up in our analytics. If you're listening from Maine, tweet us, because as we established in the last episode, we want to learn more about Maine.
I feel like I can just make more fun of Maine now.
Don't make fun of Maine.
You know, it used to be Massachusetts.
Is this a serious question, or are you trying to set me up for a joke?
No, I don't make jokes, you know that. Never mind.
All right. Charles?
Yes, Tracy.
We'll chat next week about Full Moon Rising.
Full Moon
Rising. Which I'm going to say, spoiler alert, it does not involve werewolves.
Oh.
No werewolves in this episode of Dawson's Creek. Full Moon Rising. I hope you enjoy watching on Hulu. And the ads are better than Freeform.
There are no ads because Hulu doesn't have...
Oh, right. Because you're paying...
Unpaid accounts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you get no commercials. Congratulations. Charles?
How will I learn about face masks?
How will you... I'll inform you. All right, Charles. We'll...
Yeah.
Chat with you next week.
All right.
Hello, Pacey.